Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 20, the Word of God says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Young people, God is able to do far beyond anything you can ask or think, and He does it by the power that works in you. What is the power that works in you? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Remember, there is a Trinity, and sometimes people think that the Trinity is three separate people, three separate beings. It's not. There is only one God. There is not three gods who act as one person. There is only one God. Think of it this way. If a man is a doctor and he's married with children, then there's three expressions, three different ways that somebody can get to know this man. You can be his patient, in which case you know him as doctor. That will be very different than if you are his wife. If you are his wife, you will know him as husband. That is very different than patient, and is very different than dad. If you are his child, his son or his daughter, then you will know him as dad, but that's very different than knowing him as husband or knowing him as doctor. Yet it's the same person. Think of God this way. The Father is God in heaven on the throne. He's the one who planned all the ages out. He's the one whose will we're looking for. He is the one who is majestic and powerful and all that, but He is the same person as the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you think of God as the God on the throne, you're thinking of the Father. But then sometimes we know that God has come to this world in the form of a man to save sinful men, us, to save us. That was God. That's God the Son. God in human form is the Son. We call Him the Son more for our understanding, because He is still the same as the Father. Jesus said several times, I and the Father are the very same person. If you've seen Me in John 14, you have seen the Father, because they are the same person. But just like dad and doctor are the same person, they still function in a different way at different times. And God is like that too. So God is a human being in the form of a man. Although He was fully God still, He still took on the body of a man. Well, that's the Son. And then God living inside of you, that's the Holy Spirit. It's the same person as the Son, and it's the same person as the Father. But when you think of that expression of God, God living inside of you, that's the Holy Spirit. Don't ever think there's three separate gods. No, there's only one God. God is not three people. God is one person. We can call Him a person because He's an individual. He's not a human person like we are, but He is still an individual. And He shows Himself, He participates with people in three separate ways. He manifests Himself in three separate ways, just like the doctor who is a husband and a dad. Three separate expressions that one person possesses. So So when it says that God is able to do exceeding above all that you can ask or think according to the power that works in you, that is talking about according to all that God is, He lives in you and He will go beyond anything you can ask or think. Sometimes we say to ourselves, well, I can ask or think a lot. Or we say, well, I asked and I didn't receive something. How do you know you didn't receive it? Because I don't have it. Are you done yet? Of course you're not done yet. It's like saying, I want a gallon of water and all you have is this tiny little Dixie cup. That's not going to hold a gallon. You need to expand that vessel, that container, so that it can hold a gallon. And often God will wait to give us things that we desire, that we ask for, because we don't have the ability to hold it yet. And He has to produce that ability in us before He can answer the prayer that we have asked. You see, God's going to answer us completely, not just on the surface. Sometimes we don't always recognize the things that God is doing. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, God says, His ways are far above our ways. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. The difference between His ways and our ways is like one end of the universe to the other. That's the space. That's the difference between His thoughts and our thoughts and His ways and our ways. Don't ever be surprised if you don't get it. That really bothers people. I've heard people say, well, I don't understand it, therefore I don't think it's real. I heard one person say one time, and this has been a while ago, we talked about the Bema Seat, which is the judgment seat of Christ, and that person said, well, I've never heard of a Bema Seat. I don't think it's real. Well, you must know everything there is, buddy. You must be God Himself. No, just because I don't understand it or just because I don't get it doesn't mean that it's not real. It just means that I don't get it. How could Jesus be born as a man and He's God? I don't get how God becomes man, but I know it's true. God knows how to do it, even if I don't know how to do it. So I don't worry about it. I just believe Him because He knows how to do it. His ways are far beyond my ways. Now in Jeremiah 29:11, God says that there is an expected end that we have. We have an expected end. God's desire is to give us an expected end. So let's say that I pray for something. Or let's say that I have a situation and I go to the promises of God to help me with a situation. And God wants to give me what I expect from prayer or from the promises of God or what have you. From the character of God, He wants to give me that. He says in verse 12 there, you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. When you have a desire, ask God. When you have a problem, ask God. When you don't know about something, ask God. Whatever it is, always talk to God about it. God will be interested in everything relating to you, no matter how small or how big. Nothing is too small for Him. Nothing is too big for Him. Nothing is too ordinary for Him. Nothing is too special for Him. Whatever it is, ask God. Talk to God about it. He has this beautiful plan for your life. He's designed you in the most magnificent way. He has things ready for you that you cannot even begin to grasp right now. The Word of God says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. God's not going to give you the entire plan all at once. That's too much for us. We're only humans. God will give it to you in pieces because that's what we can handle. It's like having this huge chocolate bar and trying to stuff the whole thing in your mouth. Good luck, you'll suffocate. But if you take it one bite at a time, then you can enjoy it. Well, God is not going to give us the full plan at the same time. We can't handle that. But He has a remarkable plan. He has a remarkable purpose. And His desire is for you to be loved, for you to be happy. His desire is for you to be fulfilled in His purpose. Sometimes people don't get fulfilled in His purpose, but those are the times when they turn away from God, either in their thinking, or in their desire, or in their activity. In some way, they turn away from God, and they become unfulfilled. They turn away from His Word, so that the Word of God no longer defines things for them, and maybe circumstances. They believe the circumstances more than they believe God, as though the circumstances were anything but right now, immediately. Every circumstance that you face, by the way, is only existent now. Why? Because the next moment hasn't arrived. So my experience of a circumstance is only in the now. I don't know what a moment from now is going to bring. Often, God can move very, very quickly in Habakkuk 2:3. And so don't be surprised if you're in the midst of a circumstance and all of a sudden your entire world changes on a dime. Because it can and it does, and that's how God does things. Sometimes people become very frustrated or very impatient or what have you, or sometimes people think, well, maybe God doesn't have as good for me as I would like. That's not true. That's an accusation the enemy brings against God. But a lot of people do think that. That is a huge mistake. And they start going after the world. This happens in colleges a lot. You get these great Christian kids who go into college and they come out as complete non-Christians and they destroy their life often in the process. They make huge life-changing mistakes, things that can totally devastate them, or at least they end up with very profound regrets as a result. Well, God says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things of the world. Sometimes believers get to this place where they think that success with God is success in the world. That if I'm making a whole lot of money, then God is happy with me. And if I'm not making money, somehow I'm not doing as well with God as other people. That has nothing to do with anything. Often when people pursue money, they do it at the cost of a relationship with God. God can give us that which He desires for us, and some people He will have them be rich, and some other people He will not have them be rich. Both of them are equally valuable in the plan of God. Don't love the things of the world. I'm not saying don't love people. I'm not saying be unkind or anything like that. I'm saying don't go after things of the world. Don't let that be your primary focus. Don't let that be your first interest. If anyone loves the world in that way, the love of the Father is not in them. In John 15:18, the world will not accept those who love God because they hate Him. This may seem strange to you, but there indeed are people who do hate God. And if they hate God, they're not going to be too happy with you. Don't worry about people like that. They are the ones with the deep need, not you. Don't ever become intimidated by people who don't love God. They are the ones who are lacking, not you. Why would the person who is the son of the king be intimidated by somebody who doesn't even know the king. They are the ones who are lacking, not you. Satan is the god of this world, and he blinds their minds in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He deceives them. Never be intimidated by somebody who's deceived. They are the ones that are lacking, not you. In 1 Corinthians 3:19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Again, they are the ones that are lacking. It's not the believer that's lacking. It's the unbeliever that's lacking. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." What an amazing statement for Jesus to make. Seek first the kingdom of God. That means, first, let God rule your life. Have a throne of grace as your personal throne. What does that mean? The thing that controls your life, your decision, let that be the grace of God. In Romans 5:2, that happens through faith. Therefore, you need the Word of God to have God's throne in your life. So let the Word of God be what directs you. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. There's a result to that. He says, all these things will be added unto you when you seek first the kingdom of God. You're wondering about a job. Seek first the kingdom of God. You're wondering which school to go to. Seek first the kingdom of God. You're wondering how you're going to prepare for your exam. Seek first the kingdom of God. You're a little bit older and you're wondering, are you going to get married? Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, not some of them, all of these things will be added unto you. God will add them to you. And then it continues. Because this is something that a lot of people, especially when they're adults, get caught in. Therefore, because you're seeking first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you, therefore, as a result of that, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, its own details. Don't worry about what you're going to do. I mean, there's nothing wrong if you're a young person thinking, oh, I would like to be, I don't know, a doctor, an astronaut. Whatever it is that appeals to you. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't let that be a concern to you. Don't let that be your primary focus. Don't let that be something that you occupy your time and your mind with wondering what is it going to be. Don't worry about it. You be concerned about seeking first the kingdom of God, and all of those things will be added unto you. So maybe God would have you be a doctor. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then God will direct you into being a doctor, into medical school and so on, into the studying the right things. Maybe God would have you be a great artist. Then seek first the kingdom of God, and God will direct you into those things. Don't worry about those things. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God will make sure that all of those things come about. That's a really great place to be. That's a great place to be, knowing that God will take care of it for you, that you don't have to worry, that God will take care of it for you. In John 15:7, if you abide in me, that is to say, if you abide in the love of God, after all, He is love in 1 John 4:8. If you abide in the love of God, that means remain. Keep yourself in the love of God. Stay focused on the love of God, and His words remain in you. So you're constantly getting the Word of God. You're thinking with God through His Word. Then you can ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. That's not a promise if you don't abide in the Word of God and if you don't receive His word. That is a promise if you do remain in the love of God and you do stay consistent in receiving His word. So that's a promise with a condition. But the condition is wonderful. There's nobody who is as happy as the person who remains in the love of God, who has God's words as his thoughts. That is a person who has tremendous joy, tremendous happiness, tremendous peace, tremendous ability. There's nobody as happy as that person. When I get to this point, then I start to experience and I'll recognize that God really does do above anything, far and beyond above anything that I can ask or think. Because He is for me, His desire is to bless me, and He can do it in a way that is far greater than I can even imagine. You guys understand that? All right, that's it for today.